We go from Jonathan Karl, who is the chief White House correspondent for ABC News, to the principal anchor of ABC News Radio, Mr. Aaron Katursky.
Happy to have you with us, Aaron.
Stepped up to the microphone here. And today you have been covering the Melania Trump speech flap that has now entered its third day.
It's incredible. It's lasted this long.
Right. And if you wanted to prolong a story, the best media strategist couldn't come up with a plan like this.
Right. Keep denying. I mean, this is the problem, and here's the, they keep denying, but now they have released their information. Now they have. Let's tell us, Aaron, tell us what they've just said.
Well, which time? Just now?
Just now.
The recent admission. Wasn't there a press a press release that was formalized?
Meredith McIver is a woman that we've never heard of before. She's a staff writer at the Trump Organization, not the Trump campaign, the Trump, the business organization.
She writes the golf course press releases.
Exactly. Yeah. And she is the one who worked with Melania Trump on her speech. The two were talking by phone one day. Melania said, Michelle Obama gave this speech in 2008 at the Democratic National Convention. It was pretty good. I liked the following lines. And if we're to believe Meredith McIver, she included them in the draft that she prepared for Melania Trump. But in suggesting that Melania Trump herself picked the lines that she liked, even though she may not have been the one inserting them in the text, it does suggest a degree of culpability on the part of Melania Trump. Perhaps she would have recognized, hey, these are the lines that I read from Michelle Obama to Meredith in preparing the speech.
She said she had admiration for Michelle Obama, Melania did, and that she admired the way she spoke and the things she said and wanted to borrow some lines, but maybe not literally.
And the Trump campaign initially actually reflected that, saying that these are shared values. It was a good speech that Michelle Obama gave. It wasn't anything earth-shattering, hard work, values of keeping your word. And this morning on Good Morning America, the Trump campaign manager said, we don't know who's responsible for the speech, but we're moving on, and left it at that. And then a couple of hours later comes this statement with this name and this person who falls on the sword.
And they're not firing her because she writes one kick-ass golf course press release, so she gets to stay with the company. And also, Trump doesn't want to assign culpability to anybody here, I don't think. And they do want this going, but now it does kind of close the issue, except it does show the lack of organization within the organization, because now they don't have a wall between the Trump organization, clearly, and the campaign, and there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. And Paul Manafort is what I don't know if that's his real hair, but he's going to be tearing
it's
it all
fire.
Out of his head. Yeah. he's having to go out there, and he's a real guy. And there were two speechwriters, two professional political speechwriters, who were employed to do this.
That's
to
right.
help.
Yes.
And she didn't like that. She ripped up that speech. She then talks to the woman, the press woman for the Trump Organization,
Meredith.
And they come up with this. And it's such a weird confluence of things, and it's such an easy thing not to have happen. It's an unforced error, as everybody says.
It is an unforced error, and it shows the blurred lines, as you suggest, between the Trump organization and the Trump campaign, and the campaign having to be responsible for an answer for something that it actually didn't seem to do. But it does raise the question, every speech generally gets vetted here, so much so that we usually get an advance copy at least a few hours before it's delivered. Everything that happens here happens with such precision, and clearly there was a breakdown, and it was a distraction, unless you believe Donald Trump's tweet when he says, all press is good press, Melania's speech was the most talked about speech in political history.
Not a chance. I can't believe for a second that he would have. I think he stumbles into a lot of these things, and he just knows when things go wrong, it's an opportunity for him.
Sure.
He thinks chaos is an opportunity, which a lot of business people do. It's one of the principles of some teachings of business in America. I think that's I'm not sure. I think that's the best thing for a guy who's going to be president of the United States or wants to be president of the United States.
It appears disorganized, doesn't it? I mean, just
right. Well, chaos is not managing. Listen, being the president of the United States from day one is chaos, right? And he's going to start to get starting next week. He is going to start to get the three-ring binder with the threat matrix, where he gets to see what's really happening in the world. He's going to get the highest level of information that an individual can get, essentially. Same stuff the president gets.
And he's going to do what with it? And is he? How is he going to be the steward of this information? How is he going to be the steward of national security, the economy? This is the week that's supposed to make the case for Trump's abilities
and
his professionalism, his work ethic, his ambition. And this was just a wild sideshow that the campaign didn't seem to want, but that Trump at least tried to make the best of.
Right. Well, this is not the headline you would want for 3 days in a row. It's just not.
Well, and Chris Cuomo made a very interesting point to Paul Manafort this morning in this, you know, as they were fighting about this, essentially. And that is that, listen, the problem is that every time you do something that is wrong, you just deny it. You just deny it. The thing about the handicapped reporter and some of the other stuff, you just deny it. You go, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. About Megyn Kelly, that's not what I meant. It just didn't happen. And the problem is that that becomes very Nixonian. You know, you cannot be, the American press is used to, you know, has a very, very vital example in front of them of an administration that would do bad things and then lie about them. I mean, the same thing, you know, in the Clinton administration, you can make the argument, but it is, sure. But you have this, but it never ends well, right? Bill Clinton got impeached. If Nixon had not stepped down, he would have been impeached. He's asking for a lot of trouble here. He's got to play it straight. If they make a mistake, you just cop to it.
And it does speak to this matter of trust. Here we have a whole bunch of conspiracy theorists still thinking that Trump orchestrated this entire thing himself because maybe he didn't like what's going on the convention floor. Last night was boring. Let's talk about the speech instead, get a little buzz.
Do you think there's some truth to that? That sounds so wacky, how do you know in this world? Speaking of speeches, though, in advance copies, I hear there's some back and forth going between Ted Cruz and Paul Manafort right now about what he will say tonight and whether he will endorse Trump or whether he will dance around that and what he'll say, and that he's not revealing the entire context of his speech as of yet.
When he gave a little bit of a preview in an outdoor rally that was interrupted when Trump's airplane flew over downtown.
How about that?
What a moment.
Right over him.
Whether that was coincidence or not.
Right.
And Ted Cruz did not offer a full-throated endorsement, more along the lines of what Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan did. Let's do this, go to the party, elections are about choices, we've made our choice, we move on. This is not about 2016 for Ted Cruz. This is about 2020 and how much viability he's going to have going forward.
Right now, New York Times is just posting a story that says that they are scrubbing Trump's speech for any references that may have been uttered by any other president, including Warren G. Harding. Which actually, there would be a lot in common with Warren G. Harding if you want to know the truth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we might have to bring him.
No,
we might have to bring him back.
Yeah.
I mean, they better.
Yeah.
You can't have another one like this.
With Tiffany Trump, they did it with Don Jr. Eric Trump told us he's going to be speaking tonight. He said he wrote the whole thing himself.
Uh-oh.
But is
that's a
that okay
thing
too?
To say.
Because we normally in political speeches they've been vetted by so many people, as you suggest, and you know that's the natural way it goes. You know, you bounce your ideas off, and you don't write it all yourself in a bubble and then present it.
This is a campaign like no other, and when it comes to the Trump family, they reign above all others, and they have been deployed here like no other family. In political history at a convention. Maybe no other family could actually do this, could have this many children speak like this on a national stage.
Well, the Bushes could have, but they just chose not to, right? I mean, you know, George H.W. Bush could have, you know, trotted out all the kids and the grandkids and all that, but he didn't. Although they're, over the years, they each came out. And I think you're going to see that. I think, you know, with Jeb Bush eventually running for president, I think Don Jr. is one of those guys that people are going to, after last night, are going to start watching.
Absolutely.
People wondered if that was the start of a political dynasty. In
yeah, moment. Right. Is he going to run for governor of New York? I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, things happening there. Mayor of New York City. So it's very interesting. All right, Aaron Gutierski, thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Appreciate you being with
day
us.
Day three. We're talking about day one.
Yes, exactly. And then tomorrow's day four. We'll be talking about day two then. It's like a whole thing that we're
this just, is how it works.
Yeah, it's Back to the Future.